to get up. I sort of have a stiff neck in the morning. Does anybody here know what that means? Sort of a stiff neck in the morning. Anybody know that? Got a few heads nodding. Okay. Nobody's ever had a stiff neck. God bless you. Bless you. So I bought pillows. I've changed different things. I don't know what this is about. But this morning, studying and meditating on the Lord, man, something hit my neck and my shoulder. I didn't think that I was going to be able. I thought, well, man, if this don't get better, you know, I'm going to have to need some medical attention or something. And, man, I couldn't move my neck hardly anywhere. It's just like in a bind. And I began to lay my hand on my neck, and I began to pray and plead the blood of Jesus over this situation. And, you know, right now, you see, I believe in that. I believe in that. How many has ever laid hands on your body before and prayed over something? Well, Miss Lexi, it is so awesome to see you back. C.A. Wow, he's the man. Love all you people this morning. Turn with me in the Word of God. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. And for some of you this morning, God's been dealing in my heart a lot about David in the Bible. And been looking at David. And the reason why I believe God does that, because he is a man in Scripture that we can relate to often. 1 Samuel chapter 6. He's a man that we can relate to in Scripture because he's a real guy. He's a real man. He is a man. We all know David by different things. We know David by, many of us know David by many of his exploits, okay? Like wrestling bears and lions and defending Jesse, his father's flock. And we know him by the champion of Israel, by defeating its greatest enemy in the Philistines and taking out Goliath and conquering and severing his head. And so we know David. We know David as the psalmist, the man who played on the harp, the man who sung psalms unto the Lord. Much is said in Scripture. Most of the book of Psalms, or at least a lot of the book of Psalms, is written and penned by his heart, his hand. David, of all the things that we know, and I'll go ahead to David, give him credit for. We know that David was always careful to give glory and praise to the one who created him and to give God honor and glory. A lot of David's writings is about praise and worship. David was a worshiper this morning. You know what? God has called us all to be spiritual Davids in here, to be worshipers of the Lord, to be a worshiper this morning. And not just something that we do in church on Sunday morning, which is good. It's awesome that we can do that. It's awesome that when we come together in the name of the Lord and we can come together to worship God, we can experience God and experience that powerful connect through powerful worship and praise, through the use of our songs and our mouths and our hands and our feet to dance. The Lord is all about that. And, you know, but David, praise and worship went greater and deeper than that as a song's sing. There's a place that God wants to take you deeper in himself. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe, I was thinking as they were singing that song, and there are people may have not got that when they was going praise to the left and going to the right. And you know, and there are people there trying to figure out that, well, what are they doing? Line dancing? I don't know. I just look at it as people praising and worshiping the Lord. You know, people who are not intimidated and not intimidated by the fact that God does give us a body. How many knows that God gave you a body? God gives you hands and he gives you feet. He gives you eyes and ears and he gives you a mouth and a tongue. And there are people that for some reason or another don't have that privilege. But we have the privilege. And the Lord says, David says, when he says a praise to the Lord, he says, I will praise the Lord with all my heart. I will praise him with all of me. How many knows that we can praise God with all of us? Amen. We can, and that's the way we should praise the Lord, with all of us, all of our being, all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus told a young lawyer one time, and he said, what's the greatest commandment? He says, well, you know the commandments. And he says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, mind, and strength. You know, our challenge is today to give God all of us. Don't give God a little bit of yourself, but give God all of your heart. Give God all of that you are this morning to him. Dedicate and consecrate your life to the Lord as David did. You see, David learned that as a young shepherd boy tending his father's flock. And he made this powerful connection with the God of the universe and began to realize that there was a God that was greater than him. Little did he know that years later, that a man, a prophet by the name of Samuel, would come to his house with a horn of oil and anoint him to be the greatest king, fit natural king that ever ruled upon the earth or in the nation of Israel. You know, Jesus was even called the Son of David. How many knew that in Scripture? And I know that we did a study here about 3 weeks ago on David one night. And you say, Pastor, are we going to talk to David again? Yes, we're going to talk again about David. But we're going to talk about some other characters, because some of us need to relate to all the characters. The story that we're going to be able to read and share with you, I'm going to share a few verses of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And or 2 Samuel. I'm sorry. For those who turned to 1 Samuel, I apologize for that, okay? So we know that David, we know him, all the things that he did and accomplished as a king. We knew also of David that he was a great worshiper, a great man of God. He was a great leader. He's a great military leader. He ruled a great nation at one time. None, as Scripture says, was even a greater king than David. But listen, David, on all these great things, David was a man who messed up more than his share. How many knows that? You know, for us who today said, God can't use me because I'm too messed up. Don't say that to David, okay? When you get to sit down with him a few hundred years on the other side, you'll be able to meet a man that messed up probably more than you did. But listen, he loved God with all his heart. Amen? He loved God. He was a man in Acts 13 and 22 who said, and the Lord testified this. You know, how many knows that God testifies? We love to testify, don't we? But the Lord testified about his servant David. And he said, after he rejected Saul, God rejected Saul as king, he raised up another king by the name of David. And the Bible said he found favor with David because David was a man who sought after all my heart. Amen. Isn't that awesome? David was a man who sought the Lord with all of his heart. And even though he was imperfect, even though he messed up, even though he struggled, things come against him, he fell, he was like a roller coaster sometimes, up and down. And sometimes, as a believer, we get that way, don't we? We get frustrated because we get aggravated ourselves. God, why am I up and down? Why am I in and out? What's wrong? You know, what's wrong? I feel like, Lord, you couldn't be pleased with me. You know, David knew that the Lord wasn't pleased with his actions and his attitude sometime. And God had to do an attitude adjustment on David. Sometimes, you know what? We need an attitude adjustment. Amen? Okay. For the 10 honest people here in this room, thank the Lord. But for the rest of us, we all need attitude adjustments. We all need sometimes the Lord to just get a hold of us and yank the kinks out of us, okay? And put us back where we need to be, where we're loving him with all of our heart, where we're serving him with all of our heart, where we're going after him with all of our heart. Amen. So if you have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 6. I love these scriptures. This is some of the most powerful scripture in the Old Testament, in the Word of God. And what does this have to do with me? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. What does that have to do? And Becky, if you could pull up the Ark of the Covenant, please. And we're going to talk about some things here very carefully. Okay? And we're going to look at it. And I might preach. I might teach. I might get happy. I might shout. I might run. I might jump. Is that okay, everybody? And in fact, I might get some of you all to help me out here this morning, okay? So you get ready. I might just get right in your grill, as he said. And I might challenge you to shout with me and dance with me. Some of y'all need a good shout. That, I can tell by looking at you. You need a good shout. You need a good shout inside of you. So get ready. Some of you need a good dance inside of you too. So this morning, in the scripture, how thank you, Lord, for your powerful word this morning. And the Bible says in verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. Everybody shout all. If you know what the word all means, how would the simple synonym of that word be? What would that mean? Everything. I heard somebody say everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. Are you giving God everything today? Then if not, you need to. Because how many knows it all belongs to Him anyway? Do you know that? Your existence belongs to a holy God. Your existence belongs to God. Your heartbeat belongs to God. Your walk belongs to God. Your talk belongs to God. God owns you, my friend. You belong to the Lord. David knew that. And the Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Now, I want you to look in verse 15. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Wow, what a day. Do you know there were 30,000 people or more present when this took place? There was more than an NBA basketball game, Kevin. There were more people attending this festivity than an NBA basketball game. And they were all about what David was doing. And the whole city of David, the ark of the Lord came in verse 16 into the city of David. And Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David. Now, Michal was his wife, leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Why would she despise him in her heart? Because David was giving it all. Listen, when your mission is about giving God your all, guess what, friends? People are not going to like you for what you're doing. Amen? Listen, the devil's going to put it in the hearts of people to despise you and think less of you because you're passionate about what you do. Amen. Just let them keep on, okay? As long as you keep on, amen? As long as you keep dancing, as long as you keep praising and shouting to God with everything in you, don't worry about what people are saying or thinking. God will take care of the people. You take care of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to get happy right now. Amen. I'm not even finished the text, Lord, and I'm about ready to get me down. And I'd never break dance in my life, but I believe I could right now. I don't even know how to start. I believe in the kind of dance, Jerry, where you take the breaks off. You know, not in the break dance. But the break dance is all right. So they brought up the ark of the Lord and set it in its place. This is powerfully important, right? They set the ark of the covenant in its place. In the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings of peace offerings before the Lord. Before the Lord, he offered peace offerings to the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you all for being a part. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise for his word this morning, okay? I could have read the whole chapter. I could have read the whole chapter. But I believe... Whoa, breakdancing. Is that breakdancing? Wow, man, you all threw a curveball at me that time. I thought, wow, heaven is joined in. I've never heard. I would have never. Hey, listen. I'm going to say something to you. For those people who think there's only going to be one kind of music in heaven, you got it all figured out wrong. God's a God of variety. God's a God of variety. I used to think, and don't take this wrong for those people in here that we are all mountain people, but don't take this wrong. I used to didn't really like this really old-timey bluegrass. And the Lord taught me a lesson one time, and we were going to have this at a previous church we were attending. And I thought, I'm not going to attend that because I don't really like that kind of music. And I heard the Lord say, well, who's this music for anyway? Is it for you or for me? For people who say, I don't like praise music, who's this for? Is it for you? It's not about what you like, is it? Isn't it about what He likes? We should ask the Lord, Lord, what pleases you this morning? What pleases you? Come up here, Bobby Potter. Whatever we do, hold on, I want you to stretch that out. Make sure everybody sees that. I want this side to shout that. Middle section. Shout it. Okay. You all beat all the rest of them, okay? What does that say? All right, I want you to lay that on the altar. Jesus said one time, a man cannot serve two masters. How many's ever heard that one time in the scripture? A man cannot serve two masters. You're going to love the one or hate the other. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve. The problem is in our service today that we want God sometimes, but we sometimes don't want Him all the time. We want Him to be around. We want to know that He's around. And we're about that, but sometimes we're not all about Him. We always want Him to be always about us. To be all about us. Isn't that right? I'm that way. I don't know about you. But I want the Lord to be all about me. I want Him to be, because He is. When I wake in the morning, He wakes me. When I go through the day, He goes with me. When I lay down at night, He is with me. And wherever I would make my bed, the Lord is there. There's no place, no height or depth that I could go or be about that the Lord would not be there. Because He's aware of my getting up and my going down. My down rising and my setting up. He's all about that. The Lord is about me. We want Him to be all about us. But sometimes we're not all about Him. Amen. We're not all about Him. I mean, we say we're all about Him. But you know what? The proof, as in the old saying is in the pudding. Amen? The proof is in the works. By your works, they shall know you. By your works, your fruits that you bear, they shall know you. Listen, David did a lot of bad things. And sometimes he was a messed up man. Did you know that David was a criminal at times? He was a fugitive. He ran from King Saul. And a lot of his journeying in the wilderness, as before he was before he was ordained or he was elevated to position of king, he found himself running. He not only ran from King Saul, but he ran from his son Absalom, who was out to kill him and destroy him. David had enemies. How many knows that we've got enemies in here? Your enemies are not flesh and blood. So, you know, you can quit, you know, talking about people and thinking that those people are your enemies. It's the spirit behind what those people are about that you need to be concerned about. David had enemies. We have enemies. Oh, if you ever do anything for God, you're going to have an enemy or two. Amen. The world isn't going to understand you. And many of the world is going to hate you and despise you. But listen, God says if I'm for you, then nobody can be against you. Amen? Did Did you hear that, Miss Selena? If God is for us, nobody can be against us. Amen. You and the Lord makes the winning team. Think about that. So David, we know that David, of course, later would become king. But David wasn't always the man. And we think about the awesome things about David's character. We think about the great things that he did. But we don't oftentimes think about some of the crazy stuff that he did. Do you know that David also committed murder? How many knows that David committed murder? Before he committed murder, he committed adultery. How many knows that he committed adultery? How many knows that during that time, he also lied and covered up his scheme? How many knows that he did that? Did you know that David did that? But yet, did you know that the lineage of Christ himself, through his earthly parents, came through the seed of David? David, God chose to use imperfect people. If you think you've got to get perfect before God can use you, you've got another thing coming. Because guess what? You're going to go from here to the grave and you're never going to be perfect, my friend. Just get over that. Just get over it. Take a lot of stress off of yourself. Take a lot of stress off of somebody else, because nobody is going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. I get grouchy sometimes. Oh. I give Mrs. R a hard time sometimes. I'm probably the one that gives her the hardest time of anybody on this planet. You know, we all mess up. But you know, when David messed up, he fessed up. And when he messed up and got down and he fessed up, he got back up. So some of you this morning who has messed up in your life, and you're going through things and the devil's trying to put a guilt trip over you and accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren, by the way. And he's trying to condemn you and trying to make you think that God would never use you. This is your day, because God chooses to use imperfect people to do a perfect plan. Amen. And God uses a vehicle, Mr. Rick, called grace. He uses a vehicle called grace. How many knows that we're all saved by grace through faith? Good works never saved you. Your good looks, honey, never saved you. Your money never saved you. Listen, your talent never saved you. You were saved by God's goodness and God's grace. Nothing else besides that. You'll never get to first base. You'll never get out of home plate without grace, my friend. And we all need it. But you know, the powerful thing is, we're all recipients of it. This is an awesome thing. Awesome thing this morning. So we know that David messed up, but he loved the Lord with all of his heart. And this was the top of David's goals and achievements. This would have been the apex. This would have been the greatest single day in the life of David as a king. Because there was a problem in Jerusalem. God wasn't in his place. What do you mean God wasn't in his place? God's everywhere. But to the children of Israel, they only associated the presence of God with the presence of a very powerful, important piece of furniture. This was called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant that was made by Moses, designed by crafters and made. It was overlaid with pure gold. Under that pure gold was acacia wood. So you have divinity covering humanity. Amen. I love that. You see, on the inside of that gold was human. Amen. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he came as this, God-man. He came as Jesus, the Son of God. But he was really the son of David. He was a man. He was a man. He was a man like you and I did. He felt pain. He felt discouragement. He felt rejection. He did all of that. So inside of this ark symbolizes our humanity, or Jesus' humanity, or what God chooses to use. Inside the ark, overlaid with pure gold, was acacia wood, which was a natural thing that's going back to the dust. Overlaid that was pure gold, crafted pure gold. It had, which means God's divinity. God covers us. God's power, his authority, his kingship, his rulership covers us. Amen. How many knows that you're covered by an awesome God? Amen. You're covered. We're covered by an awesome God. So this ark was important. And inside that ark, on top of that ark, was these winged cherubims. Winged cherubims, which guarded the ark, or the mercy seat. On top of that ark was something called the mercy seat. It was there that God said, I'll come down and meet with my people. And he came down between the cherubims. It was the glory of God descended upon that ark, upon the mercy seat. But something had to be in place on that mercy seat. You know what that was? It was the blood of a pure sacrifice. Amen? Oh, man. Some of you are not getting this. You're looking at me like you're a deer lost already. And lights are looking at you really, really hard and strong. But you got to remember this morning. You got to remember this. This is so powerful. Mercy. How many is glad that you received mercy? How many is glad that you received mercy? Listen, if every person in this room had gotten justice, we'd all be burning in hell right now. But God showed us mercy. It was at that mercy seat that we found favor and grace and mercy from a holy God. We got to remember, God's a holy God. A lot of times, we don't give God our all because we try to bring God down to fit us. We want God to fit us. We want him to fit our schedule. We want him to fit our conveniences. We want him to fit who we are. It's like, well, we take him along for the ride. Well, God, if you ain't got nothing to do, come along and ride with me. Listen, I don't leave home without him. Amen? I couldn't make it this morning without him. I couldn't talk without him. I couldn't walk without him. I couldn't praise without him. I couldn't do anything without the presence of God with me, because he's with us. So the Lord would come down and he met with his people top that mercy seat. And he said, accepted that in his glory. His Shekinah glory would fill the temple, or fill the tabernacle. So listen, let's go back to what I said. Now, we're not going to be here long, okay? So you got to hang on to every morsel of bread, okay? God's giving you a serving of bread. You got to hang on to every bite, okay? So the Lord, something special about this Ark of the Covenant is that God chose to meet his people with this Ark. This Ark was a piece of furniture that God came down and met with his people. It was put in a place called the Holy of Holies. How many's ever heard that in the Bible? The tabernacle, the tent, was made in three sections. You had the outer court, the inner court, and then you had the Holy of Holies. And we're not going to teach about that, because all that's not necessarily important. But I want you to remember that God chose to meet and come down and accept the sacrifices of their blood, of that pure animal, at the mercy seat inside the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died on the cross, and he died between the heavens and the earth, Jesus decided to become our Holy of Holies. Jesus became our mercy seat. Jesus became our sacrifice of blood. Once and for all, Jesus became all of that. We have all of that. We don't need the Ark of the Covenant today. We need the presence of Jesus today. Amen. We don't have to have the Ark. People looking for the ark. There are people looking for the ark. Indiana Jones was looking for the ark. We don't have to go look for the ark. It'd be interesting to know where it's going to play out one day and the whole thing of how God's going to do in the end times at the end of the ages. But listen, that's not for me to worry about. What I'm more concerned about is what this ark has become. This ark has become Yeshua to us. Amen. This ark has become Jesus to us. He's our mercy. He's our forgiveness. He's our atonement. Amen. He's our grace. Hallelujah. He's our divinity. God is all of that in Jesus. Amen. So, but this is a powerful thing. The ark wasn't in Jerusalem anymore. Because whenever Jerusalem went out to battle their enemies, they took the ark usually with them. In the wilderness, it went before them. When they went into battle, when they marched around Jericho, Bobby, the ark was in front of them, borne by four priests who carried them with staves. You see those wooden staves that go through there? They would carry it, two on each side, and they'd carry this holy chest. And there was a explicit direction of God, how God told them to carry it, what God told them to do with it. They knew that all the way. But somewhere along the line, Something happened. We got to get a hold of this. Because when they had taken the Ark of the Covenant and to face their enemies, the Philistines, the Bible says the children of Israel were defeated. The children of Israel were defeated. Because they sort of wore God like a good luck charm. There are a lot of people today wear a cross because of a good luck charm. There's no good luck in that cross. I give thousands of them away. I'm not giving them to you to have good luck. I'm giving them to you to remind you of where your mercy seat is. That our help and our strength is in the Lord. Our hope is in Him, Regan Bond. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to dance right now. Hallelujah. And so, but the ark was captive. It was captive by the Philistines. That ended up being bad news for the Philistines, by the way, because they were all struck with a disease. And listen, those people, and God had mercy. Let me tell you something. God had mercy. Because everything that was holy and sacred to the nation of Israel was inside that ark. Because you had three powerful things inside that ark. You had the Ten Commandments, which was the word that God gave to His people, the law. The commandments. And then you have the bread, the manna that they gathered every morning in the wilderness so they could eat and survive. Jesus is our bread. Amen. He's the word of life to us also. Amen. Come on, somebody help me out. Some of you all. Woo, man, I'm about ready to shout. And some of you look like you're ready to go home and watch your best TV show. You got to get a hold of this. I'm going somewhere. God's going somewhere. And you got to hang with me. Just a second. Also, in that ark was a rod that Aaron had. It was called Aaron's rod. And this rod that was not connected to another tree budded when he was dead. With Jesus is our resurrection. Amen. How many knows that Jesus is the first fruits of your resurrection? Everybody's going to get up because he got up. Did you hear that? Everybody's going to get up. Because he got up. You can get up from your problems today because God got up. Amen. You can get up from death. You can get up from whatever it is that's trying to hold you down. Because Jesus got up for you. Oh, that powerful thing was in that ark. So the presence of God was not in Jerusalem. So as David is a king, this was one of the first things he wanted to do, was restore his tabernacle. Restore the tabernacle and put God back in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of the world at that time. He wanted God to be the center of the universe and center of the world. Let me tell you, your world's going to never go right until you get God where He needs to belong in your life. Amen? Oh, well, that was wimpy. That was wimpy. That was wimpy. You know God's telling you the truth. God, your life will never be blessed until God is in the center of your universe. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Don't seek all the other things and think that God's going to fit in where he can. God will not play second fiddle to your schedule or your agenda. This is about God. We don't worship ourselves. We're more like people who bring God down to sit. Remember, to fit us. We carry him in our back pocket. We carry him in our trunk like a tire. We got a flat. Got a flat. Pull off side of the road. Let me get a little God. Now people are looking at me. Whoa, like, man. How many knows we all do that? I've done that. I've done that throughout my life. I've plugged God in. We have this awesome world that we live in. This awesome thing that God wants us to be about. And God just simply wants to reign and rule as king and the center of your universe. The center of your universe. Not wherever you can find a place for him. But he wants to be plugged in to the center of your world. That's where your world begins to get blessed. When God is where he needs to be, in his rightful place. Amen. There's a place in your heart. There's a place in your heart reserved only for him. He made it that way. Lincoln, he made it that way. He didn't make your heart so you could fill your heart with junk and then put God somewhere else where he can fit in. We've all done that, haven't we? But God has a place in the center of your heart that he wants to rule and reign. And then God isn't a God who despises you, doesn't want you to be unhappy. God blesses your life with stuff, things, even things you don't even need. Do you know what? Someone's going to take this wrong. I pray not, Lord. Your kids cannot be the center of your world. Oh, some of you are looking at me real, real crazy. Like, I can't believe that pastor said that. God bless you with kids. Yes. And if you have them, you are blessed. Amen. But God never meant for those kids or anything or anyone else in your world to take his place. Lord, I wish I had somebody to help me just for a few more minutes, Lord. So David knew that the Lord of the ark wasn't in his place. And so he remembered when he started looking for the ark. Those who seek me shall find me. Jeremiah 29:13. There's one condition. You'll seek me and find me when you look for me with all your heart. Everybody shout all. Oh man, there's something about that little three-letter word. All that God loves. It's all about him. It's all of us, all about him. You say, I just want to be happy. That's the formula for something better than happy. It's called joy. Amen? Joy is deeper than your happy. Joy is deeper than your happy. When you're going through a trial, you can still draw water out of the well of joy. When you're having trouble and discouragement, you can still reach the bucket down and draw water out of the well of joy. The joy, listen, the devil, he hates that. That's one thing he tries to rob from you all the time, is your joy. Honestly, I'm getting through. I just wanted to get you to the place where you understand the significance of what this day was about in the life of King David. So David was bringing God back to the center of his world. He was started his journey in restoring the tabernacle of David. Later it will become the tabernacle of David. He didn't call it the tabernacle of David then. He just called it the dwelling place of the Most High, the presence of God. But listen, when they brought the ark in, they placed it in his place. Things begin to get in order. Things will begin to get in order. Sometimes we're like people with our front ends out of line. Anybody ever drive a car or truck under front end under line, out of line? Come on, Robbie, you know what I'm talking about. Don't look like I'm talking Greek to you. Listen, you've lined enough cars. How many knows when your tires are out of line or they're out of balance or your front end's out of line in your truck? You'll wobble down the road. You'll never get anywhere you need to go because your life is out of balance. How many knows when God is not in the center of your world? He's not the bubble in the center. How many knows that your world is going to get out of balance? So here David was having this great day, man. The greatest day in his life. Of all the great accomplishments, taking Goliath out. There was nothing greater than this moment right here. He was bringing God back to Jerusalem and putting God back where he needed to be. All of us in this room and everyone in the Christian faith, it should be our goal, our ambition, our purpose is to bring God and put him back where he needs to be in our life, in our heart, and keep him there. Amen? God doesn't want a weekend visitation. He wants a permanent dwelling. Amen? Oh, let me rewind that again. Why did you all know about foster care? You know about visitations. You've had kids. Becky and Jason's have kids. And you get them for a few days and you may think, well, this might work out. I'll keep them. Sometimes that don't work out. That's disappointing. And I'm sure disappointing for the child as well. But God doesn't want a weekend visitation. God doesn't want you just to meet him here on Sunday morning and then your world be crazy throughout the rest of the week. God is, listen, he's the only sanity in an insane world. He's the only logic in an illogical world. He's the only one that makes sense in this crazy world. You want to know what this world needs? They need the presence of God in the center of this world. Amen. Let me tell you, that's where God originally intended it to be. Oh, man. Lord, I feel you this morning. I needed this, Lord. I needed this word today. Well, you don't preach what I wanted you to preach, Pastor Arce. I don't like you no more. Well, it's not about you. Instead of you looking around and trying to find out who this message is for, number one, Jack, it's for you. God says it's for you. Yes, your brother and sister, but it's for you. We're acting all holy and high. It's for me. It's for me. Again, I'm already getting complaints on the phone. You hear it beeping up there? I'm already getting calls. And I'm not even finished. So David, this day was unlike any other day in David's life. So he got 30,000 people. And they went to a house that the presence of the Lord, the ark, had rested for 20 years. Abinadab. when it ended out of the hands of the Philistines and it came back to Israel, they placed it in Abinadab's house. Abinadab had two sons, Uzzah and Ahio. And it was Uzzah that helped carry the ark into Jerusalem the first time. Because the first time that David said, let's go after the ark, they went after the ark. But they forgot. Listen, Uzzah had been around the presence of God for 20 years. And he forgot that God was holy. He became familiar with the holy. We can call those things that are uncommon, common. We can take for granted the presence of the Lord. We come here every Sunday and listen. Wow, man, God shows up. It's incredible. Presence of angels, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. The Lord is bouncing off these walls. And we just sit around chewing our gum and putting our hands in our pocket. Like, what's going on? God's going on. But there are then people, testimonies of people who come into this place the first time and they go, wow! Wow! I can't believe the presence and power of God that I feel in this place. But we can be around the presence and power of God so much that we take it for granted and it becomes familiar with us. That's where we begin to die. Uzzah knew. They knew. They'd studied the law. They knew. But to Uzzah, because he'd been around it all the time, it was just a piece of furniture. It was just an historical piece of furniture. At one time, it had significance. But you know, it's just the ark. Yes, the table, the commandments, the table, the bread, the manna, and the almond rod, it was in there. But listen, I've been around it so much, I've handled it so much, it doesn't mean as much. It's like buying a brand new car. When you buy a brand new car, you'll bust your knuckle 1,000 times trying to keep it clean. Won't you? Somebody now looking at me like, whoa, we're... You know what I'm talking about. You buy a new car, don't you get anything on my carpet. You're instructing your kids continually. Pick up your Cheetos. Don't leave your Cheetos on the carpet. No gum on this carpet. But you get mileage on it. You become familiar with that car. You get lackadaisical. You become lax. You become lax and your standards lower. And listen, you don't care. Later, you're throwing water bottles. Later, you're, listen, opening 7-Up and spewing it all over the ceiling. And you get a little napkin and clean it off real good. But listen, at one time, you're taking it home and you're giving it a number one job, cleaning job. But listen, you become familiar with it. So it doesn't seem to be as important. How many is what the Lord is saying here today? So we can be so around the presence of God. But I hear testimonies all the time of people telling me, Pastor R, I've never felt the presence of the Lord. There was a young lady. Let me see. A young lady that I talked to 2 weeks ago. She came. She's not been back in a couple weeks. But she told me she was coming back and she had been driving a long distance to church. But she said, Pastor R, I want you to know this. I have never been in a church where I felt so much love. She says, I've traveled this church all my... Not saying that God's love's not in any other places. He is. We know that. It's not about this building. It's not about a name. It's about the presence. Amen. It's about the presence. Don't you ever get on a trip. It's about you or about a name or about some logo or about this or that. It's not about that. It's about the presence of God. It's about Jesus walking among the candlesticks. It's about the presence of the Holy Ghost. It's about presence. So Uzzah knew that. He knew how to bring the holy. He knew how to bring the presence of the Lord into the holy place. And I'm closing. I really am. I'm trying to Hang on. So when he came, when they first time they brought the ark in, they got some oxen or cows. They pulled it and they devised a new cart. It could have been similar to what the Philistines carried their gods on. I don't know. But for some crazy reason, he thought that this would work. I'll bring the ark in on this cart. I'll bring it in being pulled by these oxen. God doesn't want you to do, doesn't want it to be done that way. God's got a way. It's his way. I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. You know why it's important for men to carry that ark? It's important that ministry, it's important that priests, we are the priest of God, that we carry the burden that God gives us. That we carry the burden that God gives us. We shoulder the cross. Didn't Jesus shoulder the cross and carry it all the way to Golgotha? Didn't he carry the cross all the way? Did somebody from the start carry the cross with him? I know he fell and they got a Cyrenian, a Syrian, to help him carry his cross a little ways. But Jesus carried that burden. He carried that burden. There's a burden in ministry that we carry. There's a burden in ministry that we carry. There are people that want to do what I'm doing, but the burden's different. It's not about. It's about everyday carrying the burden that the Lord gives us. It's about shouldering the burden. It's about carrying the cross. It's about giving God your all. So the cart tipped over. And Uzzah, just for a second, this is what he did, Bobby. He reached up and he touched that ark. And instantly he fell dead. And you know, we look and say, well, how could God do something like that to somebody? What God's saying to you and I here today, and what we need to realize, that God doesn't want to be just a familiar jargon or familiar word or familiar something other that is a part of our life, that God is holy and he's holy. This atmosphere that we come in here and we worship God, this is a holy atmosphere. You know what makes it holy? Not these seats, not this carpet, not the lights, not the special effects, not the musical instruments. You know what makes it holy? The presence of Jesus makes this place holy. That's a privilege, friend. It's a privilege to worship God. It's an honor to worship him, to exalt him. It's an honor, Lord, to lift you up. And there have been times that I've become familiar with it. There have been times that I've had to get on my knees and pray, God, I don't want to ever make that which is holy unholy. I don't want to. It's about your presence. It's about your presence here in this room. So Uzzah died. David got mad. You know the story. We're not going to read and all that. And then ended up back. The ark ended up in a place, in another man's house, and the Lord blessed him, that household, because the presence of the Lord was there. And David sought the Lord, and he searched for him, and he sought him, and he said, God, I want your presence here. So God told him the way to bring the Ark of the Covenant. And so he brought the Ark of the Covenant the second time into the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says, back to that picture, that David, when they brought the Ark into the city of Jerusalem the right way, that dance, that David got caught up in the moment. He got caught up in the presence of the Lord. He realized that this was the greatest day that he could ever experience or live in his life, that God's presence was being restored back to the tabernacle. So David did something that no king had ever done before him. David took off his robe. He took off his kingly robe. He says, there's only one king. His name is Jehovah. There's only one God. There's only one king. And until you come to the point in your life that there's only one God and it's Him, not you, your life will never be blessed. Because the universe doesn't center around you. God should be the center of your universe. Amen. David disrobed himself. He disrobed himself. One translation said, and this is not literal, that he got naked. Now we know he really didn't get naked. He had a priestly ephod. He had a linen ephod on, which was pretty low down, okay? And he wasn't doing this for people. He was doing it as unto the Lord. He took off all his restraints. Some of you today can't give God your all because you got too many restraints in your life. You got too many things holding you down, holding you back. You got too many fires you're tending. You got too many things you're doing. I'm not saying that all those things are bad. I'm saying that God wants to be center of all that. God wants to be the center of all that. So David took off his kingly robe. He disrobed himself. Some of us are afraid to be naked before God, bare before the Lord. Do you hear that? It's hard for us to be bare before the Lord. We have to be transparent when we do that. There's only a certain part that you reveal. Isn't that true? We cover the rest up, right? We cover the parts up that we don't want anybody to see. Isn't that true? But David took off all of his exterior, except for that linen priestly ephod. And the Bible said he took off his crown. Most kings will come in with a great procession, a great procession with music and trumpets. Dancers dancing before him as he sat upon a chair being carried in. But David said, no, there's only one king. There's only one Lord. There's only one Jehovah. He is God. There is none like him. Amen. Some of us here today, you need to take that off and lay yourself bare before God and say, God, I strip away everything and anything that would keep me from giving you my all and your presence. So, Uzzah died. A critical mistake. He died there in the presence of the Lord. And listen to me. I've seen people die in church spiritually. I've been in this 40-some years, and I've seen people die under powerful preaching, powerful music and worship. I've seen people die in the presence of the Lord. See, how could that happen? Because it's become familiar with them. And when it becomes familiar with you, you're not treated anymore as holy, but just a common thing. You take it for granted. Then after a while, your fire begins to die. Your passion begins to die. Your joy begins to die. Your enthusiasm begins to die. Today it's time to take that off and come before the Lord and give Him your all as you come and dance before His presence with everything within you. Amen. Everything within you. David. Uzzah was the first guy. David's the second guy. Of those two characters, which one would you rather be? Which would your life rather personify? Uzzah, who died before the Lord, or David, who danced before the Lord? I believe I'd rather dance before the Lord. Amen? I'd rather dance before the Lord. I'd rather dance before the Lord. Some of you have problems just dancing and praising. And listen, I know we've all brought up different ways. I was brought up a mixture between Baptist and Methodist. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I have powerful roots, and I thank God. I was a Baptist pastor at one time. There's nothing wrong with that. I thank God for heritage, things that God gave me down through the years. But God has taught me something about the tabernacle. God's taught me something about His presence. Amen. There is nothing that will do except the presence of God. Nothing will fill the void in your life except the presence of God. And we have the presence of Jesus here in our midst. It shouldn't be just a few people up here dancing before the Lord. Man, all of us ought to cut the rug every now and then. That's a sight that we can do that in the honky-tonks. We can go down the road listening to Garth Brooks and have it up full blast. And we can, woo! I got friends in low places. I got a friend in high places. I said, I got a friend in high places. Give me a friend in high places. Give me a friend in the high place. Give me a friend in the high place. I'm not criticizing you, judging you because of your music. But if you can dance in the honky-tonk, you can dance before the presence of the Lord. You can move the body God give you. You can move the hands and muscles and bones and sinew that God give you. And if Brother Roy can do it, anybody can. Because, man, he dances and he's over here right now rebuking the devil from this pain off of his legs. But that's all right. God's going to heal your legs, Roy. God's going to heal your legs. And then you talk about dancing. You talk about dancing. You ain't dancing a while. I said, you ain't dancing a while. What?
It's time.
You got to dance without music just like you can with music. It ain't about the music. How many knows that? It's about the victory. It's about the victory. It's about the victory. God put a song in your heart the devil didn't give you. He put a song. He put a song in your heart. Closing. David or Uzzah? I want to dance like David danced. I want to shout like David shouted. I want to sing like David shouted. And the last one finishing up here, David's wife was Michal. And she criticized David because of what he did. How many knows that there is a spirit called criticism? The devil uses. People can develop a spirit of criticism, being critical. God made them to take care of everybody else and criticize what they didn't like. How many here likes to be criticized? Not a hand. I didn't think so. Neither do I. But guess what? Welcome to the real world. Amen. How many knows that if you're doing something for Jesus, Dale Whited, the devil ain't going to like it. He's gonna smack talk you. He's gonna criticize you. He's gonna get on the world, the web world. He's gonna do everything he can to call you out. But listen, friend, you gotta be determined as worshipers, as David was. It is before the Lord that I dance this day, Michal. I'm not dancing for you. I'm worshiping my God. Amen. And she criticized him in her heart. She criticized him in her heart. When you come here and you're up into God, you walk out that door, guess what's going to meet you? A critical spirit. You'll hear it before the day's over with. Somebody will criticize you, something about your faith. Why did you see that person up there dance? I can hear the the devil whispered. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know he piggybacks a lot of times, do you? Did you see that person about dancing? If you only knew, you only knew. Man, they're a hypocrite. Did you know that? And they're up there trying to dance and trying to do all that stuff. By definition, at times in our life, we've all been hypocrites. Oh man, that's a little weak. That's a little weak. A little weak. But if you only knew why that person was dancing, you'd understand. If you only knew the trip God delivered them from, if you only knew the alcohol, the drugs, if you only knew the perversions God brought them out of, if you only knew the things that God had done in their life to put joy in their heart, put a step in their dance, hallelujah, you dance with them, not criticize against them. So today, Lord, I didn't even look at anything here, Lord, that just went all haywire, or I guess that seems to people, and we're closing. And actually, I didn't stand a super long time, but I wanted to finish the word that God gave me. You needed this word today. You say, you're being pretty bold, Pastor. I sure am. You needed this word today. And you know what David did at the end of all those festivities when the ark was in its place? He sent enough bread home for everybody. See, when I leave here, I want to take leftovers with me. I want to take some bread with me when I leave here. I want to take some bread with me. God give you a loaf of bread today, and you're going to take it with you when you leave here so you can eat on it all week long. Gave them a loaf of bread and raisin cake to take with them. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's pretty awesome, man. God gives something to take home with you. Did you take something home with you today, Henry? You brought me something from home. It's cucumbers, man. Bless your heart. I love you, man. I appreciate you and Becky. But you know what? God wants you to take something home more valuable than a cuke and a tomato. God wants you to take the bread home with you so you can bask and eat from His table all week long. Amen. Everybody shout bread. Just stay standing. I like this song. Jenny, did I sing this song to you? It's by Matt Redman. I will dance, I will sing, I will be mad for my King. I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my King. I'm not talking about mad like you're going to kill somebody. I'm talking about mad crazy over Jesus. Little Ashley, mad crazy about Jesus. I don't care what somebody thinks about me. I don't care if you think I jump too high, if I preach too long, or if I sing too loud. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I've got over that a long time ago. People thought about that me years ago when I was in another church, in another denomination. Doesn't matter. Listen, it's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, it's about the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about me. I will dance. I will sing. I will be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul. Some of you today having trouble with the dance. You're having trouble with the open worship. Listen, we're not here to make people feel bad, because I had to get there myself. And God's patient. He's long-suffering. He'll work in you and work with you. But He sure wants you to be about Him with your all. Amen. He didn't hold anything back from you. Do you know Jesus hung between the heavens and the earth naked? He just had a loincloth. He hung in shame. You know why he did that? So he could take Kathy's shame. The shame that I have felt before. So he could take my shame. Jesus disrobed himself. They took it. They took it from him. They hung him naked between the heavens and the earth. Made a public spectacle of him. And all the Lord is asking in return is that we love him with our all. Don't hold anything back from him. Next time you're sitting there saying, I'm not worthy to worship God, if the blood is applied, you're very worthy, my friend. You're worthy. If the blood's applied, not how many commandments you kept this week, how many times you read the Bible, how many times you prayed, the blood of Jesus only makes you worthy to worship and dance before the Lord with all your heart and mind. You know what I think we ought to do? I'm not saying we do this, so don't let anybody hear this and take it out and say, well, I'm not going to go to church there. I think when we all come in here, we ought to take our shoes off. We say, this is holy ground. This is a place that we're going to use our feet to dance. There's not going to be anything between our feet and God's presence. I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. I'm going to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul. And I'll become even more undignified, because that's what Michael said to David. You're being undignified. You've shamed me before the daughters of Israel. And he says, you think this is something? Wait till you see me cut the rug next time, daughter. Because I don't want a spirit of Michael. I want the spirit of David. I want to dance like David. I want to sing like David. I want to praise like David. I don't want to criticize like Michael. Because you know what ended up with Michael? Her womb was cursed. She never bore fruit the rest of her life. And we wonder why sometimes we don't have the fruit that we need in our life. Could it be that we're not attending to all the things of God as we should? Giving God our all and worshiping with our brothers, even though, listen, you may have a sore hip, you may not be able to jump and leap, but praise God, I'll move one toe. I may have a bad shoulder, but I'll be like Steve. I'll move the other shoulder. I'll get up with a ukulele instead of a big Gibson. I'll get up with a ukulele and I'll sing my song to the Lord, even if I have to sing it like a T-Rex. I'll sing my song to the Lord. I'm going to dance my dance to the Lord. I'm going to praise my praise to the Lord. Because it's before the Lord that we dance with all of our might. Amen. Somebody give him praise in this place. I said, somebody give him praise in this place. I said, somebody praise him like he's everything to you. God's mightier than your cheeseburger. He's mightier than your fish and chips. God's mightier than your barbecue. God's greater. Hallelujah. It's before the Lord. It's before the Lord that I dance. It's before the Lord that I dance. Because free people, amen. Are you free? Are you bound up in an image? Are you bound up in an image? David got rid of that problem. He took his robe off. He wasn't worried about his image anymore. He was just worshiping his King, amen. His King. Lord, it's before you that we dance today. It's before you that we dance. It's before you that we sing. And if you're here today and God has dealt with your heart in one of these areas, you don't want to be like Uzzah. You don't want to die in the presence of the Lord. Embrace the presence of God, the Holy of Holy. Keep him in the center of your world, in your heart. You want to dance like David this morning. You want to take the brakes off. You want to get off all the restraints, all the image stuff, all the cool stuff, all the things that you're worried about what people think about you. I promise you this, there's never going to be a dance like coming one day. Oh, you got to hear me one more time. I said there's not going to be a dance like there is one day. There'll never be a prom like this prom. There'll never be a dance like this dance. Because you know what? God's going to say, enter in, good and faithful servant. Do you know that Sister Betty's up there dancing right now, Rick? You know what? You can dance with her today. You can dance with her today. I said you can dance with her today. You can dance with her today. And you don't want to be Michael. Don't spend your life criticizing everybody and everything that people do. Don't judge people. Love people. You make mistakes just like they do. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. It's not our job to be a critic. It's our job to be an encourager. So when somebody's dancing, you get behind them and say, come on, sissy, just a little bit harder. Come on, sissy, just a little bit harder. Come on, just a little bit harder. A little bit harder. A little bit wilder. And if you're here today and God has dealt with your heart in any of these issues, let's bow our head for just 1 second. If you're here today and God has spoken to your heart, I like what Damon Thompson said. Said, people go crazy if your service is over an hour long. You know why that is? Because it's about their schedule. You didn't hear me. It's about their schedule. He says, we've got young kids in this ministry that lay 4 hours before the Lord, the presence of God. And they don't even worry about it. They're foaming at the mouth and they're hollering, more, 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 more. You'll never find that more, 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 just a drive-through experience with the Lord. I said, you'll never find that more with just a drive-through experience with the Lord. So today, if you're here and God has spoke to you in any area of your life, through Uzzah, through Michael, or through David, if you're here this morning and you need to give God your all and you've kept some from Him, just slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, God has really spoke to my heart and I'm going to be honest with you today. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else, God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest today. Thank you. You know what? I'd be bold enough to say, I think God has spoke to everybody in this room. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. I said, I would dare to believe that God spoke to everybody in this room today. Okay? I'm going to ask one more time. Is there anybody here today that God has spoke to? Pastor R, I've not given God my all. I'll be honest with you. I've not given Him my all. I've kept stuff from Him. I've held back. Listen, I have become familiar. I have become accustomed. And you know, I have taken things for granted. And I've been in powerful experiences. And sometimes it's like things don't faze me, but they need to. And Lord, that's me. If you're here today, slip your hand up with mine the last time. Keep them up in the air, guys. Be honest. Keep them up in the air. Keep them up in the air. Keep those hands up in the air. Can you leave this room today saying you've given God your all? If you have, that's awesome, and nobody can judge that. But if you haven't, the Holy Spirit's calling. The Lord of the dance is calling. And He's saying, come, come. Worship before me. Come and bring your heart to me. Bring your heart. Bring your passion. Bring your love. Find forgiveness. Listen, that joy. Find that peace. And here, I'm going to count to three. And if you're David today, David's leaping in your heart right now. David's leaping in your heart. I want you to go ahead and dance right now where you are. Just dance where you are. Listen, if there's David jumping inside of you, if there's a David spirit, if the power of the presence of the Lord is jumping in you, then you go ahead and leap right now, right there where you are. You dance like David. You sing like David. But if you couldn't, if you raised your hand, I want you on the count of three to come forward right now. We're going to pray with you. One, two, three, right now. Right now. Right now. We want to give you our all, Lord. We want to give you our all. We want to be bare before you, Lord. We want to bear all before you, Lord. nobody to dance like that. But Lord, you know, you're the one that keeps score. So Lord, today help me just give you my all. Is there anybody else here today? Have you answered God's call? Can you answer God a clean conscience today? Lord, I'm doing all that I can right now. I'm doing all that I can. If you can, the Holy Spirit's calling. He's calling. Sons and daughters, come. 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 Come, my children. Come, my children. Come, sons and daughters, come. Come. The Lord says, come. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. He that is athirst, let him come. If you want more of God in your life, how many want more of God in your life? How many want more of God in your life? I said, how many want more of God in your life? I want us all right now. Listen. Can I say this? Can I say this? Can I say this? Some of you right now, I feel like saying this to some of you. Some of you right now holding on to the handrail. You'd like to get in the middle of the floor at that eighth grade dance and dance with that pretty girl. But you won't get on in the floor. You won't go up to her and ask her because you're too shy. You're too intimidated. You're too worried about what people think. And the Lord says, let go of the handrail. Let go of the handrail and follow me. Follow me. And if you're here today, and I've just about run out of steam, if you're here today and you want more of God in your life, I'd like for everybody to come to this altar today. Everybody come to this altar today. I'd like for us to surround this place right here. Right now, one last time before we leave. I know what time it is. I know what time it is. I know what time it is. You don't have to have a certain note right now. I just want you.